Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Psalm 23, a very, very familiar psalm. We are going to be concluding this morning our study on the life of David, a man after God's own heart. And I chose this psalm to finish our study. And the reason that I chose this psalm was because it really does sum up David's experience with God. Through all of his ups and downs, through his victories and defeats, and the times that David was walking with God, and the times that David fell into deep sin, through all of that, he had a special relationship with God. And in Psalm 23, as we read this morning, he speaks quite personally about God. He claims the Lord is his shepherd. And with simple beauty, this psalm speaks of green pastures, and it speaks of still waters. But it also speaks of dark valleys and of enemies. This most powerful thing about this psalm is the confidence that we see here. David really believed these things that he wrote about God. We realize as we study these words that David isn't just writing thoughts. They're not just theories, but these are things that he really experienced. He experienced God in these ways. He heard God's voice. He followed God's lead. He felt God's care. And beneath the beauty of these words in Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm that we hear read often. But beyond the beauty of these words, beneath them are deep convictions formed by David in the most difficult times of crisis. And so let's read these words together in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the first three verses of this psalm, David looks at a gentle picture of God as this shepherd leading his sheep, and it describes his relationship with God. So who is this God? Who is this shepherd of Psalm 23? He is the Lord. He is Yahweh, the Creator. He is God Almighty, God Most High, the One, the True, the Living God, who makes and keeps His covenant with His people. This is who the Lord is. The Old Testament prophecies give a picture of God as a shepherd that will one day come and lead His people. Isaiah gives us a beautiful picture of what this looks like, this God shepherd who comes. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah writes, "Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arms ruling for him. Behold, his compensation is with us, and his reward before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in the fold of his robe. He will gently lead the nursing ewes." And then Jesus, he arrives on the scene in the New Testament, and he identifies himself as the good shepherd. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So as we look at this psalm, who is the shepherd of Psalm 23? He is God. He is Yahweh. But in the light of the New Testament, we see that he can be identified with Jesus, the promised Messiah, the one who comes and lays down his life for his sheep on the cross. This is the God of Psalm 23. And David begins the psalm and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." See, the temptation in ancient Israel was to call God our God. He was the God of Israel. He was the God of the people. He was our God. And sometimes we look around and we say, God is our God. But here David makes it very personal. He didn't say, "The Lord is our shepherd." He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It is personal for him. And so this morning, as we look through this passage, I want to ask you to consider, do you have that confidence in your relationship with God that David had here? Can you call God your shepherd? No matter where you are in life, no matter what's happening in your life right now, through the ups and downs, through times of walking with God, times of sin, can you look and say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Is your relationship with God a personal relationship? As we go through this psalm this morning, consider where you are in that relationship with God. Is he your shepherd? See, a single flock can have as many as 10 animals or as many as hundreds of them. And a good shepherd, he knows each and every sheep, regardless of how many sheep there are. And if you think about our world today, there are over 329 million people in the United States. There are over 7.5 billion people in the world. And God knows every person by name. Do we understand what this means? This means that if he knows all of those people by name, that means he knows me by name. That means that he knows you by name. He knows you personally. And God doesn't just know your name. He knows more than that. He knows everything about you. That he knows your habits. He knows your weaknesses and he knows your strengths. He knows where the sheep is born. He knows when the sheep is sick. He knows when the sheep are wandering away and he's there to bring them back. This is the good shepherd. This is the beauty of Christianity here, is that the shepherd knows them by name. Knows who they are personally. Now, as I'm here this morning, let me tell you, I'm not like that. See, some of you, I can look around and I'll know your name. And some of you might walk up and I'm like, yeah, I used to know your name. I knew your name 5 minutes ago. You told me your name in 30 seconds. I forgot it, right? Sometimes we do that. But God is not like that. He knows us personally. And this is the beauty of Christianity, right? It's not just about following a bunch of rules and regulations, but it's about having a relationship with the God and Creator through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's about knowing Him and He knowing us. It's the relationship. And as the shepherd's provision is summed up in verse 1, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have no wants. I have everything that I want. There is nothing that I can possibly want or need that I don't have because I have the good shepherd. Because I have God, because he's my shepherd, there is nothing else that I want. And this is illustrated. He continues on and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He helps me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Not just any pasture. Not like out in Wyoming, the sagebrush pastures, right? Not like that. We're talking green pastures. Grazing, rich, fresh, full of nutrients and beauty and life. And God has promised to supply all that we need through Christ Jesus, right? When Jesus said that I am the good shepherd, he says, "I come to give you life and to give you life abundantly." He says, "I come to the green pastures," and he makes us lie down. Author Philip Keller shares how sheep do not lie down naturally on their own. From his experience, he notes this. He says, "Four things must take place before a sheep will lie down and rest. The sheep must be free of fear and free from predators, free of tension from within the flock, free of flies and parasites, and free from hunger." Keller goes on and demonstrates how the good shepherd calms the fears, brings unity to the flock, treats the animals for insects, and leads them to good pastures. And so when I think about the life of David and I think about the things that we have studied over the last several weeks, I don't often think about David as one who is lying down in green pastures. And honestly, for many of us, we have a hard time lying down in green pastures. We live busy lives. We live fast-paced lives full of tension and strife. A lot of us live on the edge, with little margin for error. We have anxiety. And for some of us, anxiety is a way of life for us. And Jesus came as the shepherd. And he came to bring us peace and rest in this anxious world we live in. And this is illustrated here by the quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. When you follow the shepherd, he leads you. He leads you beside the quiet waters. He slows you down. He helps you to focus on the things that are important, and he gives you his peace. And we need a shepherd to lead us through these crazy, crazy times. Sheep are pretty much helpless when it comes to finding their own way. They're notorious for going the wrong way. The sheep just kind of wander and they'll just go whichever direction they go, and they need a shepherd to direct them in the right way. And left to themselves, they would never find green pastures. Left to themselves, they wouldn't find the quiet waters that David speaks of in this psalm. In verse 3, it tells us that he guides me down in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need a God who guides us. We need a God who leads us. There are so many paths out there for us to go. There are so many things that we can do in our life that bring damage to our lives, damage the lives of the people that we love. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I'm going to show you the right way. And there is a right way. And notice why God does this. He says that he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that might seem a little odd to us. Shouldn't God just guide me because he loves me? Well, God does love you. But he doesn't guide you just because of his love for you. He guides you because it's for his name's sake. It's similar to what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. God guides us down these paths of righteousness so that we can follow him. And as we follow him, as we live for him, then people will see it. Our light will shine and people will see it. And ultimately, it brings God glory. And the purpose of our life is to bring God glory. And when we don't, when we sin, when we struggle, God restores us. He doesn't just leave us in the murk and say, man, you really messed up. Just move away from me. He restores us. And this is the great theme of David's life. He knew this God of restoration. And in verse 4 and 5, there is a shift. David moves from talking about God to talking to God. The psalm becomes even more personal. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. So we see this becoming more and more personal for David. Even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you're with me. The valley, a low place, naturally dark, full of shadows. And the shepherd would often guide his sheep. He'd take his sheep and he would guide them through the valley. The shadow of death here in this psalm, it talks about the darkest places in life, the most severe trials that we will face. When death is so near that its shadow is hovering. This is the place here, and the word through is such a significant word. It's an encouraging word because it shows that the valley of the shadow of death is only temporary. It's a passageway. We don't stay there. It's not permanent. It's something that we pass through. It's not a place that we make our home. See, too often, believers, they spend time in the valley of the shadow of death when they don't have to. God desires to lead us through. And while we're there, we'll have no fear, and we're going to go through these difficult times. We're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to go through that. But friends, don't camp there. Don't spend your time there. Allow God to lead you through. David fears no evil, no harm while he's in these places. We've studied through the life of David, and there were times when death was at his door. There are times when there were spears being thrown at him. There were times when there was rebellion going around in his own family. And he did not fear. And why did he not fear? It's just because you are with me. David had no fear because God was with him through the valley. Walking with God is essential. See, Jesus never promised us a trouble-free life. Maybe when you became a Christian, someone said to you that, man, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God's going to take all your problems away and life is going to be good. And I'm sorry if somebody told you that, because that's not true. And Jesus never promised that. We're going to face difficult times. We're going to face illnesses, and we're going to face bereavement. We're going to face financial difficulty just like everyone else. But we can thank God that the shepherd does not abandon us when things get tough. Jesus is the good shepherd in all of circumstances of life, including the dark valleys and including the death. And when you go through the dark valley, the shadow of death, especially when we're the darkest, darkest of the valleys, we can know that the shepherd goes with you. He leads you through. He doesn't just give you a map. Right? Because if God just gave us a map, some of us would never, ever get through. Jesus goes with us. Not just does he go with us, he goes before us. Our God leads the way. That means that we have to follow him. That means we can't be the leaders. We have to follow the one who leads the way. And along the way, his rod and his staff, they bring comfort. The rod and staff refers to a single instrument with four major uses. First, we see this staff that fights off animals, like the lions and the bears that prey upon the sheep. Second, we see the crook of the staff needed to gently seize the sheep and pull them back by their legs or the neck and bring them back to the flock. Third, it was used to examine the sheep. The shepherd would use a staff and he'd pull the wool away and check the skin for any kind of rashes or wounds or defects. And fourth, it was used to count the sheep. As the sheep would enter in the sheep pen, the shepherd would count. And what happened when the sheep entered into the sheep pen and there was a sheep missing? The shepherd would allow someone that he trusted to watch over the majority of the sheep, and the shepherd would personally go find that missing sheep and bring him back. See, because the good shepherd, the shepherd of Psalm 23, the shepherd that David knew, he wanted his sheep with him. In verse 5, David talks about this fellowship with God. He says that God invites us into his home and he prepares a table before us. David is talking about this meal, this banquet table that God has for him. See, when we have special company in our house for a special meal, what do? We take time to care for everything. Like we clean the house. For some reason, some of you ladies, when you have company over, a special company, even clean your closets, like they're going to go in your closet for some reason. But you think you need to clean every aspect of your house. And you dress at the table and you put a nice tablecloth on it. And you get the best tableware that you can. You prepare your best meal, your the best thing you can do. And you put up decorations on your table. And most of us don't put decorations up any other time. But when you have special guests, you put these decorations on your table. You create a special environment to ensure that your guests feel welcome and they feel honored. And when God invites you to his table, as David says here, he says not only does he make a place in his home, he honors you before your enemies. Normally, if a person is eating before their enemies, and David experienced a lot of times, if you read through 1 and 2 Samuel, eating before his enemies, it wasn't a relaxing thing. It was quick. I'm going to get a quick bite. It was alert. I'm watching what's happening around me. But here in this passage, we see God's presence. In God's presence, we can relax. We're safe and we're secure. And God not only has delivered us from our enemies, God not only delivered David from his enemies, he honored him before them. And because of this, David says his cup overflows. And David says that God's goodness and God's love will follow him all the days of his life. Every day we can experience God's goodness and love. If you're here today and you're having a good day, you can experience God's love and mercy. If you're here today and you're having a horrible, lousy day, you can experience God's love and his mercy. No matter what, his goodness and his mercy are there for you. See, we experience this from the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. See, our eternity starts there. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to know God's goodness and his mercy. Sometimes we as Christians, I think we struggle and we can't wait to get to a time when we don't have to experience what we're experiencing now anymore. I can't wait to get to a time I don't have to deal with this world anymore. I don't have to deal with the stuff. We look forward to this time in heaven where things are going to be perfect. And friends, that's good. We look forward to that. But don't miss out on God's goodness and his mercy right now. As we walk through life, our God is with us. The shepherd is with us. Our eternity started the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is there now and it is there for you for forever. And this is what Jesus told his disciples. When they were sitting around and Jesus is about to go to the cross. And he talks about this idea here that we're looking at in Psalm 23, this idea of this banqueting table. that God has a place prepared for us. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I'm about to leave you. I'm about to leave you. And he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas says, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. How do we know how to get there? How do we know? And Jesus, the good shepherd of John 10, Jesus, the God that we see in Psalm 23, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning, as we look at this idea of Psalm 23, look at the good shepherd, this personal shepherd, let me ask you to consider some questions here this morning. Only you know where you are in your relationship with this good shepherd. I can look around this room and I can pretend to know where you are, but honestly, I don't know your heart. And as I stand before you, you don't really know my walk with God and where my heart is. I have to be honest with my relationship with God, and you have to be honest with yours. And as we come to this time of considering this personal psalm, the psalmist, that David, that he knew this God, let me ask you, do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? See, David, if he didn't know the shepherd, none of the rest of this makes any difference. If David didn't know the shepherd, he couldn't walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He couldn't lie down in green pastures. He couldn't go beside the quiet waters. He would never experience the banqueting table if he did not know the shepherd. This morning, do you know the shepherd? Let me ask you another question. Do you trust the shepherd? Do you trust God? See, because sometimes I think maybe we say we know God, but we don't live a life of trust. Do you trust the shepherd? Do you believe that God has what's best for you? Do you believe that God is always there for you? Are you walking with the shepherd? Are you relying on the shepherd? Are you allowing the shepherd to lead you, even in difficult times? How many times do we find ourselves going through things because we're trying to figure things out on our own? And we're like, God, I believe in you. And if you just take a back seat, watch what I can do. And God's shaking his head. And God's saying, allow me to lead you this morning. Are you allowing the shepherd to lead you in your life? Or are you so focused on the things that you want in your own way that you're missing out on what God has for you? Let me ask you this morning to consider, are you resting in his presence? And as I was studying this psalm to prepare the last couple of weeks, God just impressed on me the importance of resting in his presence. With so much going on in this world, can I just lie down in green pastures? Can I rest in his presence and just understand that we can just trust in him? Are you resting in his presence? Are you experiencing the goodness of God? This morning, do you know that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? From this moment, a moment of salvation, until eternity forever, that you will dwell in the house of the Lord.
To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with me.